Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, all you Turnbuckle fans. QT with you on another Sunday edition of Turnbuckle Turmoil. Sign Guy's whereabouts are slightly unknown at this time. Well, I know where he is, but not chronologically. He is hoped to be en route from his straight job. Today, we have on with us a cruiserweight wrestler from Tennessee. Chris Gage would remind our Northwest wrestlers of someone like Adam X, Ethan HD, Marcus James, and to a lesser extent, Tom Moonstein. When looking at Chris Gage, a wrestling purist will ultimately ask the question, at what limit is cruiserweight and heavyweight blurred into society's existential consciousness? Chris Gage, welcome to the show. You're from the hotbed of wrestling in Tennessee. We ask our first-time guests on our show that haven't been on the question, how did you get into this crazy wrestling business? That's our standard first question. Yes.
Oh, wow. It goes back a long, like, probably almost, I got to say, about 12 years. When I started watching wrestling as a little kid, so me and my friends, we started like, hey, maybe we could do this. We went out to our backyard and started wrestling, and we eventually started getting a crowd. So we started like this backyard promotion. Then they had to move, the guys I was wrestling with, they moved to Texas to start their own promotion. And I stayed in Tennessee and started wrestling with a promotion in Humboldt called New Breed Pro Wrestling.
Wow, okay. Backyard wrestling, most of the neighborhood kids, especially the boys, do start backyard wrestling matches. Will you classify your earliest matches in these backyard wrestling matches as a babyface or heel?
I was always the babyface. Because of my high flying moveset, I would do stuff that made the crowd go, wow.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, is it true that you borrowed some of your mom's sofa cushions as part of the ring, or maybe a shower curtain as the entrance curtain to a downward plywood made ramp? Any harmful gift that you borrowed, much to your mother's constraint?
I've borrowed a lot from my mom when it comes to wrestling. Everything from sofa cushions to bed mattresses.
Wow, all right, okay. Now, did you ever return any of these household items in slightly broken form and you tried to duct tape them back into working order, much to your mother's chagrin?
Wow, you must be a fortune teller. That's correct. I did that a lot.
A little bit of duct tape and super glue, yes. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Now, can you talk to your mom about some of your earliest backyard matches, and she'll laugh, and then with a serious face, she'll say, you still owe me for the cushions or something like that?
Oh, she probably wouldn't laugh. She disapproves of me doing this. But she was like, one day you're going to get hurt. Actually, I did before. But that never stopped me. I was just one hard-headed kid.
Wow, all right, okay. Well, Chris, I saw your YouTube video entitled Sam Armstrong versus Chris Gage at UCPWS Halloween Massacre. Had you watched videotape of Sam Armstrong before the match? And if so, did you notice that both you and him had very similar builds, and thus you were going to approach a match with a cruiserweight mindset instead of going up against a heavyweight wrestler? That's Sam Armstrong.
Yes, I do. I review like all of my first-time opponents before I actually wrestle them, and I did notice that, so I thought that we would have like pretty good chemistry in the ring. Actually, right now, I'm at UCPWS right now before, like, they're getting the ring set up and everything.
Oh, wow. Okay, you're helping set up the ring. Okay. All right. How important is it for a young – now, can we ask how long have you been wrestling for this organization, and have you had upwards of 70 indie wrestling matches under your belt? 70 matches.
I've been wrestling for this organization going on the year, just about a year. I've been wrestling throughout West Tennessee and Northern Mississippi. It's going on, it's going to be 2 years next month. And I think it's very important for a guy like as new as me to, put in some kind of work to help the promotion wherever you're wrestling.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say at the 2 year mark, you're well past rookie status. How important is it for a young rookie with less than 6 months experience to show proper respect to the already seasoned veterans of wrestling in the locker room? And how important is it that they start tasks like setting up the ring ropes, stuff like that?
It's very important because the thing with showing respect to the veterans is that if you don't respect them, they're not gonna put your name out. They're not gonna help you with what you need help with as far as in-ring technique. But if you do, they will try their best to teach you what you know, what they know, and they're going to try their best to get your name out there to more than likely everywhere they've wrestled at.
Yes, it's rumored that Hulk Hogan, in wrestling lore, came in with an attitude of, say, superiority or a know-it-all mentality. Maybe that was because he had some very good size on him. Maybe he had some success earlier in his athletic non-wrestling career. And an old Japanese wrestler helped break his leg. And it's rumored that Hulk Hogan's attitude toward the veterans changed shortly after that. Yes. So proper respect goes a long way in this industry. Yes.
It does.
Well, Chris, in your match against Sam Armstrong, at the 1 minute and 10 second mark, you took off from the top turnbuckle to deliver a Macho Man-like elbow to Sam Armstrong. And I estimate at the apex of your jump, or the very height of your parabola, if you will, or flight arc, that you were 28 to 30 inches above your takeoff point, and horizontally, you had leapt a distance of slightly over 10 feet. My question is, were you a huge fan of the Macho Man due to his leaping abilities, or perhaps a Shane O'Mac?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of both Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Shane McMahon. I grew up watching them, and as a kid, I would look at both of them as almost like one day I want to do that, and I'm proud to be actually doing it. Not on their level, but maybe one day I'll be on that level.
Wow, all right, okay. Now, can you give us your sports background in high school? Did you go out for any, say, like track and field, and maybe participate in the long jump to give you that leaping ability?
I really didn't do much. The only sport that I really did in high school was soccer. And that's where I get my cardio, where I get my leaping ability.
Okay, soccer. Okay, that does improve your cardio. Are you a big fan of English soccer, where you can watch Arsenal, or maybe Liverpool?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of soccer in any organization, from local to United States. With when it comes there, my favorite would have to be Chicago Fire Department. That's my favorite wrestling team. Soccer team.
Oh, wow, you're refereeing the soccer team. Wow, very good. All right. I only mention English soccer because John Lydon, former lead singer of the Sex Pistols, is a huge Arsenal fan. Yes.
He grew up in England. I'm a huge Arsenal fan also. Arsenal and, I've lost a bunch of, I haven't been watching English soccer recently, so I'm pretty lost right now when it comes to that.
Okay, is it a goal of yours to one day travel over to England and be in the stands of an English soccer match if you have backup? Because they can get pretty rowdy. Yes.
Oh, yes, I've seen. I would love to go and see an English soccer match.
Oh, okay, all right. How about an Australian rugby match?
I'm actually almost, I wouldn't say more, but I'm just as much of a fan of rugby as I am soccer.
Wow, all right, okay. Well, Chris, in your match with Sam Armstrong, I mentioned the leaping abilities of the Macho Man and Shane O'Mac. How about the early pioneer high flyer Jimmy Superfly Snuka? Were you a fan of the Superfly?
Yes, I was. One of my favorite moments of Jimmy Superfly Snuka's career was him jumping off the top of a cage in a cage match.
Yes, I believe that took place in Madison Square Garden.
It did.
Yes. Oh, okay. Now, what do you think the height that Jimmy Superfly Snuka dove off that cage was, and was it? And who did he deliver that dive to?
My mind's kind of blurry right now, but seeing that jump, so I forgot who he did it to, but seeing that jump, I think he was probably a good, including the cage, probably a good 20 feet in the air when he jumped at the peak of his jump.
Oh, okay. I'm going to give you a clue. It was a wrestler known as Mankind or Dude Love.
Oh, yeah. It was now general manager Mick Foley.
There you go. Yes, Mick Foley. And I'm going to have a question about managers later on. But, yes, a seminal moment in wrestling history. Yes. Now, another seminal moment in wrestling history occurred when Jimmy Superfly Snuka occurred on Piper's Pit, and Rowdy Roddy Piper broke a coconut over Jimmy Snuka's head. Were you a huge fan of that moment? Yes.
That was one of my favorite moments. Of course, I wasn't alive back then, but I get to go on the WWE Network and see all the old WWF stuff that was going on. That was one of my favorite moments.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you yourself have a Scottish history like Roddy Piper?
No, I don't. My race is pretty mixed. I'm mixed, African American, white, and some Samoan.
Wow, Samoan. Okay, very good. All right. Seeing that you're some part Samoan, are you going to go to the that movie that has recently come out, animated movie with The Rock?
I believe it's called Maui or something like that. I do plan on seeing it when it hits theaters.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Chris, the term Superfly is shrouded in urban myth and legend. Some cultural study professors have done studies among young millennial university students, and they say the term Superfly is another name for groupies that follow the rappers Snoop Dogg and Painful P, and most of them have no problems getting a degree from colleges that will relegate them to living in their parents' basements for a period of 8 years. These are young millennials. Older members of the baby boom generation, when asked to describe the term Superfly, mentioned the character Huggy Bear on Starsky and Hutch. Some bring up the bass player for the Parliament Funkadelic, Bootsy Collins. Most baby boomers bring up the song My Love is Like a Roller Coaster from the Ohio Players while watching a young Ric Flair on VHS tapes. My question is, are you familiar with the bass playing of Bootsy Collins of the Parliament Funkadelic?
Funkadelic really brings I've heard that name somewhere, but I can't say for sure that I'm familiar with it.
Oh, okay. Well, we will give you the Turnbuckle Turmoil homework assignment of looking up music from the Parliament Funkadelic and focusing on the bass playing of Bootsy Collins.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that.
Yes, he had very good. He also wore very good glasses on stage, and some say that the eyeglasses he wore inspired Elton John. Yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'm going to have to research all of this. I will, as soon as I get home, I'll look all of this up.
Oh, okay, very good. All right. Now, would you consider adopting the name Superfly yourself?
Oh, I would love to adopt the name Superfly only because of everyone knows me for the high risk daredevil type of worker.
Now, were any of those backyard matches when you were a kid, did they have a kid that would leap from the top turnbuckle, or perhaps in this case a plywood ramp, did he adopt the Superfly persona and was known for his high flying? And if so, have you kept in touch with this person?
Actually, when it comes to jumping off plywood ramps and turnbuckles, that was me. And I did have someone, like some other fans and some of the guys that I wrestled with, would come and tell me that I should, like, take the name Superfly.
Wow, all right, okay. Would you ever consider sinking $10,000 into a 1974 Cadillac Eldorado restoration project?
I believe I would. I'm a big Cadillac fan.
Oh, wow, all right. With the V16 engines, yes.
Yes, I would have to say that's probably my dream car.
Wow, all right. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Chris, at the 207 mark of this match, you climbed to the top turnbuckle once again to take flight. But while the referee was distracted, a man with a bald head and a rather stylish black leather coat pushed you off the turnbuckle while the referee had his back turned. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners who this man was?
His name is Tommy Jacks. He's an incredibly good manager at UCPWS.
Oh, okay. Very, very nefarious person. Kind of a slime ball, wouldn't you agree?
Very, very dirty when it comes to wrestling.
Okay, so he's one that we can easily say rolls dirty down the street. Yes, mainly of Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, that will be him.
Hi, well, Chris, I was put off by the referee's appearance during your Sam Armstrong match. Although he had the traditional zebra shirt on, he had on blue jeans that were two sizes too large, and thus they were bunched up at the calves. And below this, he had on old tennis shoes on. We at Turnbuckle Turmoil believe a referee should have black dress slacks or maybe a deep royal blue, and then they should be sharply pressed, and the bottom cuffs should have no baggage above black or brown Oxford shoes. My question is, are you going to launch a petition or protest to get an upgrade in the dressing habits and appearances of the referees at UCPWS?
You know, I've thought about that because we've actually been running short of refs, and the ref in that match was incredibly green. Like, I think that was probably his first time reffing a match, which is why when he counted, his counts were so fast. But, yeah, I think he'll be here in probably a couple minutes. When you get here, I'll talk to him about it.
Yeah, I don't even think he checked you for foreign objects before the match, am I right?
Not to my knowledge. I don't believe he did.
Yeah, and that was a very quick three count, in my opinion. It was like 1, 2, 3. Yes, that led to your downfall. Yes. Okay. So I'm going to put down that you are going to launch a petition to get your referees better dressed. Okay, very good. All right. Now, who are some of the better referees in your area that you have worked with, and what are some of the qualities that make them better referees?
I have to say, in my time wrestling, the best referee that I've worked with is a man named Danny Woods, and he's been reffing since, I believe he said, 1994. And what makes him a better ref is he knew how to work with us wrestlers. If say the bad guy in a match, the heel, would try to distract him, he would actually do it and not see what, say, the heel, in this case Tommy Jacks, if Tommy Jacks was gonna like choke me or whatever, he would look the opposite way, which is what a ref is supposed to do.
Wow, all right. Do you yourself can you see yourself in a refereeing position when you no longer lace up the wrestling boots?
I've actually been in a couple special referee matches, and I will tell you this, it is completely different. My first time, I've had a couple mishaps. I forgot to take for foreign objects, stuff of that nature.
What's the strangest foreign object you've seen a wrestler pull out of their shorts or her shorts?
The strangest object I would have to say is, all right, that's a good question. The strangest thing I've found on a wrestler is a bag, well, not a bag, but a sock. And in that sock was a bar of soap.
Oh, boy, a bar of soap in a sock. That brings to mind wrestling in prison settings. many of the convicts in maximum security prisons will make up objects to defend themselves, and a sock with a piece of soap in it is one of those objects. Yes. Maximum security prisons. Yes. All right. Well, since Sign Guy isn't here, I'm going to ask you the second standard question we ask our guests on Turnbuckle Turmoil, and that is, what's the hardest knife-edge chop you've received from a lady wrestler?
The hardest knife-edge chop I received from a lady wrestler would have to be from a female wrestler in wrestled in West Tennessee. Her name is Black Widow. She has probably the hardest, stiffest chops I've ever received from a female.
Ooh, the Black Widow. Now, did she have a red hourglass painted on her body, stomach area?
she didn't have that, but her the side of what she wore usually had, like, spider webs.
Oh, wow, spider webs, okay. Usually that occurs on a person's elbow area, and that is also popular in prison lore and tradition. I'm not sure what it means. I think it means that you're caught in a spider web of time doing hard time. Yes.
I believe so.
Do you yourself have any tattoos?
Not yet, but I plan on pretty soon getting a tattoo of some lyrics alongside of my ribs.
Oh, wow. That must be pretty painful, a tattoo near the rib area. Okay. I'm going to mark down that the Black Widow lady wrestler is the hardest knife-edge chop you've received from a lady wrestler. How about a male wrestler?
Hands down, the stiffest chop I've ever received, male or female, was from this veteran wrestler. His name is Pretty Boy James. And for a man of his age, I believe he's around 64, he is probably the most hardcore wrestler I've ever had the privilege of wrestling.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. And you have received a knife-edge chop from him. Did it draw blood?
It did. He would put me in the corner, put my arms around the ropes, take his glove off, draw all the way back for his knife-edge chop. And when he laid in, it would be like welts right, like, around my chest.
Ouch! I promised not to laugh. I told myself I'd try not to laugh, but that brings back a memory when I was also chopped in a parking lot. Yes, it drew my breath in. Ooh. All right, are you familiar with a wrestler named Madman Pondo?
Madman Pombo.
Yes.
I know I heard the name before, and I've probably seen some of it, but refresh my memory, please.
Well, Madman Pondo is a man who's very familiar with East Coast wrestling and Sign Guy himself. He's a man that his weight is unclassified, but I'm suspecting that he goes upwards toward 360 pounds. He's very fond of, let's say, hard liquor before a match, and he has been known to make his entrances run into a concrete pillar and keep on going. Yes. Concrete pillars have no effect on the man. It's like Superman and Kryptonite. Yes. Or maybe the exact opposite. Madman Pondo is also known for his chops. Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Chris, what are some of the injuries that you have had to come back from? And is a torn ACL ligament the injury you fear most?
That would be one of the injuries I mostly try to avoid. But in my 2 years of wrestling, I've been rushed to the hospital, I believe, four times. The first time was in a match in Humboldt, Tennessee. I was at the apron of the ring, and my opponent was inside staggering after, I believe, a clothesline. I got out to the apron and springboard. Now, when I was springboarding in this small building, apparently I was springboarding. I went up so high on the jump that my opponent, by the way, my trainer, who I was facing then, his name is Brian Michaels, he believed that I jumped so high that my head was going to hit the beams of the ceiling. So what he did was he grabbed me in midair and gave me a spine buster, like, out of the air, and I landed right on my side. It gave me severe bruises, and I couldn't finish the match.
Oh, my gosh. That is the term of high flying. That's amazing. He caught you out of midair?
Yeah, because he thought that my head was going to hit the beam of the ceiling, so I would rather take bruised ribs over a severe concussion.
Oh, yes, concussions. And speaking of concussions, that's a hot topic of all NFL players these days, and a recent lawsuit was brought against the NFL for concussions. Many players, like Junior Seau, suffered from concussions. Dick Butkus, also concussed, but mostly he had problems with his knees. I think he has a couple of artificial hips now. What's your view on concussions, and should there, what should the indie wrestling protocol about concussions be? And do you have any guidelines in your Tennessee area about concussions?
Well, I believe we, as wrestlers, should do our best to avoid concussions. That's why in one of the main promotions, New Breed Pro, in Humboldt, Tennessee, one of our new rules is that they banned all pile drivers to avoid that situation.
Oh, okay, banned power drivers. Okay, I've never heard of a banned power driving. Although, come to think of it, in our neck of the woods here in the Northwest with Blue Collar Wrestling and SCW, I haven't seen much pile drivers either. I've never heard of them getting banned, but boy, it's been a long time since I saw one. Very interesting. Okay. Well, Chris, I think you can also see in other sports that they're very concerned about concussions. Not really in baseball or maybe basketball, but you take rodeo, like the bull riders. Some of them are wearing space-age helmets now. Yes, bull riding. I'm not sure about bareback riding, but bull riding, yes. Have you ever considered riding a bull in a rodeo? That's my next question.
I've actually thought about it because I actually enjoy, I'm not as big of a fan of it as soccer or rugby, but I actually enjoy rodeo style and bull riding, but as far as me doing it, I'd probably not.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Chris, I also saw your video entitled Jared Ethan versus Chris Gage, and this took place at the New Breed Pro Arena on March 7th, 2015. Jared was escorted to the ring by his manager, Kellen James. Chris, manager seemed to be a dying, a slow breed, a slow death in professional and indie wrestling. In the old days, you had Billy Sandow. Sandow, he managed Ed the Strangler Lewis back in the Depression era of the 1930s. You had Arnold Skaglund, who managed Bob Backlund, Tony Parisi, and Bruno Sammartino. You also had Bill Dundee, who managed Lord Steven Regal, the Barbarian, and the Mod Squad. And you had one of my favorites, Brother Love, who managed Barry Horowitz, the Dark Patriot, Scotty the Body, and the Flying Nuns. Were you yourself a big fan of Scotty the Body and manager, Brother Love?
Not so much Scotty, but I was a big, I was a fan of Buddy Love.
Oh, okay. Would you say that you had the same dance steps and the same style of entrance as Scotty the Body when he came down the ramps? Did you do the worm?
I don't think I can actually do the worm. I might try it today. Just see if I can.
Wow, all right. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fan if you do have any entrance music?
Yes, I do. It depends on wherever I am, but in Newbury, I will come out to a lot of hard rock music.
Oh, okay, hard rock music. Okay. If you suddenly found yourself hanging up the boots in a 95% non-wrestling status, 5% active status, what area talent would you most like to manage and why in your area?
If I ever had to put up my boots partially for almost for good, I think I would want to start my own promotion somehow.
Oh, okay. Start your own promotion. What kind of concessions would you have at a concession stand, or what kind of treats would you offer fans should you set up your own promotion? Because we here in the Pacific Northwest at Blue Collar Wrestling, that's held at the North Portland Eagles, we serve a mean chicken fried steak. We're pretty much renowned throughout the Northwest. That and our nachos. Yes.
Well, I would love to have not so much concession. I would want to kind of mix an all-you-can-eat bar with my wrestling promotion, if it's possible.
Oh, okay, an all-you-can-eat bar. Okay, very good. I take it that's like a nutritional bar?
Yes, they would have, usually, with me, I think I would have three bars which fans go up and, like, get whenever they want. There's one bar for dessert, which have ice cream, cake, pies. One for, like, southern barbecue, ribs. Chicken and stuff of that nature, and the last bar would be salads.
Oh, okay.
For females.
All right. Now, do you prefer pork ribs over beef ribs, or vice versa?
I love pork ribs. I don't think I've tried beef ribs yet.
Oh, you've got to try the beef short ribs. Very nice. Yes. Oh, okay. Yes, and make it a point to cook up some beef short ribs in like a crock pot with gravy. Very nice.
Yeah, I'm probably going to try. Yeah, I'm going to go to the store tomorrow and try to cook that.
Oh, okay. Very good. Beef short ribs. Okay, very nice. All right, well, Chris, say if you could travel back in time and were given the choice to manage these four wrestlers, who would you pick? Tully Blanchard, the Magnificent Morocco, George the Animal Steel, or Mae Young?
I think I will have to go with Mae Young because I'm such a huge fan of her. Even after she retired, she was like still doing stuff with WWE.
Oh, okay. Yes. Were you surprised as I was that she recovered from that body slam through the tables by the Dudley Boys?
That was pretty funny to me. I love that moment. One of my favorite moments with Mae Young would have to be her relationship with Mark Henry. That was just hilarious.
The Central Chocolate, yes. I was going to bring that up, yes, where they appeared in bed together. Now, Mark Henry, a massive man, he set some powerlifting records while he was still in high school, some age group records. I'm not sure how much he could squat in high school or deadlift, but I think his deadlift, even when he was a junior in high school, was up near 800 pounds. Can you yourself take our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners through some of your weightlifting routines?
I work out about, I'm going to start working out 5 hours a day. I live in Bolivar, Tennessee, and we have our own gym just a walk away. And for right now, I think my limit for bench pressing is about 320 pounds.
Wow, 320 pounds. Now, is that two of those big weights on each side? Because they're 45 pounds each. That'd be 90, 180. Wow, that's like two of those big weights on each side, plus a medium-sized weight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's right.
Well, it's well known to our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans that I can lift just your standard bar with two bagels attached to each end. Yeah. And the thing is, when I get done lifting, I can eat the bagels. Yes. All right. Well, Chris, in that match with Jared Ethan, he was announced at 240 pounds, giving him a sizable weight difference. Who is the largest opponent you have ever faced in the ring? And was he or she 3 to 4 inches taller and 110 to 120 pounds heavier, and thus giving him be in the range of around 6'4" and 340-pound range? Have you ever faced a wrestler that big?
I have, actually. A man named Brandon White, who is the son of a guy who did a couple matches in AWA, Tim White. Now, Brandon White is about 6'4", 6'5", and weighs a good 345 pounds.
Holy smokes. Okay, that's quote pretty big. All right. Okay. Now, you yourself put Jared down with three straight drop kicks from the 520 to the 528 mark. Now, on the sides, on the side workouts, do you do a lot of squats? Or do you run hills like Kurt Angle used to do?
I do both squats and run hills. I'm not sure what I maxed out in doing squats at, but I would run hills for about 2 hours.
Wow. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what the percentage of grade is to this hill?
Let me see. I'm not sure. Because
keeping
it's like
in mind
right
at a 90 degree. I'm sorry, go ahead. Yes.
I was just going to say that it's like right behind the house I'm living in, so I could, like, do it every day.
Okay. I was going to say, keeping in mind that a 90-degree grade is a straight drop. Yes. Now, Kurt Angle used to run hills in Pennsylvania by his workout place, and sometimes he used to run them so regularly that the city buses – the bus driver would sometimes say, and here we have Kurt Angle again running the hills. Everyone wave hi to Kurt. And they do it. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Were you a big fan of Kurt Angle and his Gold Angle gimmick when he entered the WWE?
I was a big fan of Kurt Angle and still am. I've seen some of his matches recently in the indie circuit and his matches in Impact Wrestling. I'm a huge fan.
Were you a big fan when Kurt Angle played guitar with Stone Cold Steve Austin and sang Steve Austin a song?
I didn't see that before. I think that's before I started watching Kurt. But one of the moments that I remember, I think the first time I've actually noticed, like really noticed Kurt Angle, was when he kind of copied Stone Cold in his beer truck gimmick, his beer truck splashing everyone in the ring, except this time Kurt used a milk truck and splashed everyone with milk.
Oh, yes. Yes, okay. Very good. That was very good. Were you a big fan of Eddie Guerrero when he drove down to the ring in his lowrider? Because on one scene, Kurt Angle drove down to the ring in a milk truck.
Yeah, I loved Eddie Guerrero. That's one of the guys I looked up to when I watched wrestling.
Oh, okay. Were you a big fan of Shark Boy, the guy with the mask on that looked like a shark?
Yeah, I was a pretty good fan of him also. I loved his moveset, his gimmick, his the way he guys.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, Chris, as you know, we recently had the election for the President of the United States. Donald Trump got elected. Do you believe that when Trump got into the ring with Stone Cold Steve Austin and was able to survive a Stone Cold Stunner, that that automatically qualified him for President of the United States? Because I got to tell you, Hillary Clinton couldn't survive a Stone Cold Stunner, in my opinion.
I don't think she could either. President-elect Trump really did take it like a champ when he did, though.
Yes. Do you hope that Donald Trump will be the first president of the United States to get back into a WWE wrestling ring after he is sworn in? And how would that affect Vince McMahon's ability to manage the overall organization? Do you think we will see Donald Trump interrupting Vince McMahon on the Jumbotron or Vicky Guerrero?
I would love to see that because the angle that he had with Vince McMahon at the time was hands down one of the best angle of that time, because who would have imagined that a billionaire Donald Trump would cut another billionaire's hair?
Oh, yes, yes, the infamous haircut. Yes, that was very good. Oh, okay, I think we have Sign Guy back with us from his straight job. Let me see if this caller, Sign Guy, are you with us?
Oh, no, this is me, Dimitri. What's up, QT? How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. Almost ready to wrestle in a couple hours.
All right. Yeah, I'm one of the other guys from Turnbuckle Tomorrow. I just decided to call because I just stepped in and realized I posted the wrong picture up. So I just wanted to post a formal apology because I never did that before. And when I realized the mistake, I was like, whoa. So I wanted to thank you for your catching. And I'm say working on a new banner for you to put on the page. So we get that back to traction. And like I said, I just want to put that traction down and apologize formally to you via phone, a.k.a. person.
Oh, it's fine. Me and my friend who posted the picture of me in the comments, we both thought it was real funny because they were saying how I was a cruiserweight. Then you posted the picture,
No disrespect to the other guy, you know, nothing like, but, you know, I was off by one answer, and I looked, I was like, okay, because I said, go through the files wrestler, and I said, miss one S, so when that name came up, I'm like, okay, that's what they booked for the day, I'll call it and check it out, but like I said, so I was listening, and then I finally went to the page, and I looked, I'm like, oh my goodness. because I'm listening to the interview. Then when I say interview, seeing how everything's going, so I went to the page and I'm looking on the comments and I'm like, what's this? Whoa!
Yeah, the guy that posted it is actually my roommate, Jeremiah Miller, goes by Jackson Hogg, who wrestles with me.
Yeah, so right now I'm working on a new one while listening. But like I said, you know, I'm watching a video at the same time while listening to the show and stuff. I'm like, wow. Said next time I won't forget that extra S.
thank you, bro.
But otherwise, hey, kick butt tonight, put an entertaining show on. I hope that all the seats be packed with butts.
Thank you.
Well, back Dimitri,
yeah.
Oh, but before you go, Dimitri, Chris was telling us that one of his favorite moments in WWE history was when the sensual chocolate Mark Henry appeared in bed with Mae Young. Is that also one of Dimitri's favorite moments in WWE history?
Indeed, it's true.
Oh, okay. Well, now, Dimitri, we were going over with Chris what his weight routine is to give him such strength in his legs to have that high-flying ability that I have seen on YouTube. Dimitri, can you yourself take us tell our Turnbuckle listeners what your weight routine is? Because you have some pretty good thighs also. Yes.
I just do the hip set, just do squats, the hips lay, and just regular repetitions with the arm bar.
Just, oh, okay.
Just,
all right.
Or just try the regular conditioning for myself.
Wow, all right. Well, Chris, Dimitri has long been a fixture in Northwest Wrestling. He, of course, runs our Turnbuckle Turmoil website, and he has seen a lot of action in the Northwest, up and down the coast, of course. Can you give Dimitri maybe some encouragement? Because it's rumored that Dimitri is also planning to be a manager in the new year. That's what I've heard. Yes, mostly from Paw Moonshine. What advice can you give Dimitri? Yes.
Well, one piece of advice that I could give is just be careful who you manage, because some guys are really, really, like, dirty when it comes to having a manager.
Ooh. Most definitely, I keep those words, say, keep those words close to heart.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Chris, we're getting down toward the end of the show. At this time, we usually give our guests a few moments to plug anything they'd like to plug, their favorite barbecue, their favorite rock group from the 60s. Can you tell us about any upcoming matches and what you would like to plug at this moment?
So far, I've been booked in this coming up match here in Holly Springs, Mississippi. Next Saturday, I'll be in Humboldt, Tennessee, back in Humboldt, Tennessee for New Breed Pro. And I believe pretty soon I will be in Trenton, Tennessee for TIWF. And as far as,
Oh, okay. Well, we here at Turnbuckle Turmoil have enjoyed your interview with us. I will get together with Dimitri and Sign Guy, and hopefully we can have you back on in the new year, and we hope that you enjoy your beef ribs in gravy, something a little bit new, that and that was recommended by Turnbuckle Turmoil. Beef short ribs.
I will be trying some beef ribs fairly soon.
Oh, okay. And we also hope that you do your Turnbuckle Turmoil homework assignment and look up any YouTube videos with the Parliament Funkadelic paying close attention to bass player Bootsy Collins.
I will.
Because in my estimation, looking at your videos, you have a Bootsy Collins persona to you. And that's a very high compliment. Yes.
Well, if it's a compliment, thank you. I will definitely look up Bootsy Collins.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Gage, and good luck in your upcoming matches. And we will be with you, Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, next Friday. I'm not quite sure of who we have on, but yes. Okay. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.